It's time for the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. I'm Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. This morning we will visit with area baseball coaches to see how their teams did this past week and what's on the schedule for this week. Now, the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show right here on Q92. And a good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Baseball Coaches Show. Paul Rabel here in the studio for another Coaches Show. And Matt Munson's in the studio. Going to talk Madison Mallard baseball. We're all in playoff mode now, Matt.
Yes, we are.
All the different teams.
Yeah. It's some busy time for baseball in the area, so it should be a lot of fun, especially today with us hosting the region tournament. All day today and Sunday.
Yeah, you've already been down at the field, I understand, huh?
Yeah, I've already been down at the field trying to get some stuff set up this morning. So had some help from my dad doing that. And, yeah, almost forgot to come here, but I remembered it screwed over here.
I would have texted you.
Yep.
you're always on time. You're never late. So, yep. Yeah, Madison hosting not only this weekend but the Junior Legion tournament next weekend. So, Bart's got the field looking good.
Yeah, field's looking good. You know, it takes a lot of people to get everything lined up to accomplish that. So thank you in advance to all the people that are helping this weekend and next. And, yeah, thanks to Bart for having the field looking nice as always.
I noticed you put up some extra tents for shade today. And
Yeah, there's some tents for shade, and we have to put up a fence, a temporary fence, and get our gates going, you know, since we have to take admission during these tournaments. So, yeah, it should work out well. You know, hopefully it's not too breezy where we can use that shade. That's kind of my worry, that the wind will take care of the umbrellas and the tents. But so far, so good today.
So good. All right, let's back it up a week and talk how the Mallards did last weekend.
Yep, so last Sunday we were traveling to Minneota to finish out the regular season in the Land of Ducks. Going down to that game, there were some, I guess, big implications for both teams. You know, Minneota could have, you know, finished anywhere from the one seed all the way to the five seed, you know, depending on if they won or lost that game. And I guess for us, we could have even finished fourth or fifth. So, big game for both parties. Didn't turn out like we had hoped. We went down there and ended up losing 4-2. The last few games, we haven't been hitting the ball very well. You know, that's one thing coming out of last Sunday. You know, we only ended up with six hits, but we had a lot of hard hit outs. So, hopefully that carries over to playoffs. But, you know, in that game, you know, it was, we did drop that one, but, you know, we fell from behind to Minneota 1-0 after the second inning. We were able to battle back and tie it up in the fifth, and then, you know, we just kind of had one bad inning where Minneota scored three runs. I think Minneota had a hit or we had an error, and, you know, then it just kind of kept on snowballing where they had some soft hits that kept falling in there, and I think they maybe even scored three runs before we even got one out. So, you know, we were able to still get out of that inning. You know, 4-1, it's still a three-run lead, but something that you think that you can come back from. Fast forward to the ninth inning, you know, we did load the bases and scored a run and had those bases loaded with two outs. And, you know, hopefully that's, you get that big hit. And, you know, that didn't come to fruition. So, but we were right there, had an opportunity at the end to, you know, tie it up or keep things going and even take the lead. But, you know, it wasn't our day. You know, but for the most part, you know, we ended up finishing with five seed in the region tournament. the exactly as we should be. We lost to the four teams in front of us, and we beat the eight teams behind us. So we're finishing with an 8-4 record, you know, very similar to what we ended up with last year. But we look forward to tackling the tournament today.
Yeah, and I should mention the top four seeds. And that was a big win for Mineota because they all had identical records, didn't they?
Yep, they all, yeah, with how things turned out, I think with a loss or two here this last weekend, it all turned out with those top four teams all tied, and it just came down to tiebreakers. And I think Mineota, based on record amongst those three other teams they were tied with, and then a runs allowed advantage, I think they ended up with the one seed. And then it was followed by Morris, Clinton, and then Dumont. So if we're able to beat Appleton tonight, we would face Dumont tomorrow. And that's the exact same scenario that we ended up with first weekend in the region tournament last year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, kind of deja vu all over again. And, you know, hopefully we do see Dumont tomorrow.
All right. Let's talk about the stats against that Mineota. You got some stats
here? Yeah, we got some stats here. You know, Landon Sherm, he was 2-for-4. He'd been a really steady leadoff hitter for us this year. Brand Hill had a hit in an RBI. Carter Hamlin had a hit. Dylan Lilliard had a hit. And Avery Whitnabel had a hit. So it was nice to see Avery pick up a hit, start swinging the bat. You know, and then, you know, as I mentioned before, there was a lot of other guys hit the ball very hard on the day. You know, I'd say 6 to 8 outs were on very hard hit balls that just seemed to hang up or be hit right to the outfielders. Brandon Bornhorst started on the mound for us. He went 6 innings, gave up the 4 runs, 3 earned, had 3 Ks, didn't walk anybody. He really never, ever does. So it's not that the walks killed us scenario. But we also got Avery Whitnabel an inning on the mound. He struck out 2 guys, and Brandon Hill pitched the 9th inning. And struck out a guy, or the 8th inning, and struck out a guy as well. So, you know, got some guys a little more opportunity on the mound just to try to get ready for playoffs. And then, of course, you know, that starts today.
So. All right. So that wrapped up your regular season in Mineota. And what was your final, what was the record again?
Yeah, so final record in the Land of Ducks was 8-4. We played a lot of other non-league games this year, too, just to try to prepare for the rest of the season and have, I guess, more looks going into playoffs. And, you know, those didn't fare too well. I think we were 1-2 or 1-2-1, I think, right, in those non-league games. But it was nice to see some other teams, and it was nice to get some other teams to come to Madison. So all those non-league games were in Madison, so it was really nice to use our field with all the improvements that have been made.
All right, real good. Well, let's talk about today. It's a big, big day and big weekend, actually, today and tomorrow.
Yep, yeah, big day, big weekend, hot and windy, but, you know, it'll be fun. You know, we got some shade, we got the umbrellas out, and, you know, there's plenty of cold beverages that people can enjoy when they're there for the game. So should be a good time, and, you know, it's kind of nice to kick it off with a local team, too, with Rosen versus Chicago, just to start off the tournament here at 11 o'clock this morning.
Okay. And the other games, you want to talk about the other games?
Yep, the other games. The following Rosen and Chicago, we'll have Cottonwood versus Benson at 1:30. Hancock versus Ortonville at 4. And then the nightcap would be Appleton A's versus Madison Mallards at 6:30.
All right, and you'll hear that Mallards and Appleton A's game right here on Q92. I'll be there in the air-conditioned press box.
Yep, air-conditioned press box. I think it's set at 64 degrees for you, so it should be nice and cool.
Authorized personnel only.
Yep.
In the press box, right?
And that includes me, because I'm going to need to cool down a little bit today.
Yeah, it's a beautiful press box that was built, that's for sure.
Yep, so. Yep, yeah. Hats off to everyone that had a part in that. And, yeah, the air conditioning was a nice added touch. And,
yep.
You know, we got it in the concession stand, too. It's, of course, when the wind windows open, it's not going to have the same effect, yeah, but it would still help cool things down tremendously.
But I should add, there's plenty of shade around, you know, underneath the duck blinds and that, and so you said there's an admission charge?
Yeah, there's an admission charge today. You know, typically for our town team games, we just pass a hat, but, you know, for the region tournament, it goes back to the teams, but $6 for adults, and then high school students that are 13 of age and older is $2. 12 and under is free. So,
okay.
Yeah, just be prepared. Bring some fives and ones so we don't go through too many change, too much change. But no, it should be. They're long days, but you know, we get a good group of volunteers, and it'll be a fun day out of it.
All right, and that continues tomorrow too, right?
Yep, continues tomorrow as well with those top four seeds I mentioned earlier. Minneota, Morris, Clinton, Dumont, they will be taking on the winners of the games played today. And like I said, is one change from last year in the region tournament. Today's games are all single elimination. So lose, you go home. And then tomorrow starts the double elimination format of the bracket. Okay. So, yep, should be a good, exciting time with, you know, these being elimination games. Maybe people will be a little more excited about it and get some more fans here.
And I think Tyler Ottoman mentioned this last week. You know, the state really looks at attendance in these tournaments, don't they?
Yep. So state really looks at attendance. So that's, you know, all the Madison people that are listening, you know, don't just come down for our game. You can come down whenever you want.
And that price gets into all four games.
All four games. So you just leave and you can come back and, you know, but, yeah, region's attendance base or what state looks at, and I think that is how you get so many teams into the state tournament. Yep. So, you know, we are able to, with our attendance the last few years and some changes, this year we get to have three teams make it to state. So
awesome.
Should be a lot of fun, a lot to compete for, since that's why we do it, is everyone wants to, well, one, you do it because you enjoy it, but you want to play as long as possible and you want to get rewarded with that state berth.
Right. All right, so the first game starts at
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, and that's Rosen.
Rosen versus Chicago.
All right, and then it continues all day.
Yep, all day. Full day of baseball.
All right, thanks, Matt, for coming in, and have fun this weekend.
Yep, thank you, Paul.
And we'll see you at 6:30 with the Appleton A's game.
Yep, see you tonight, and thank you for doing that.
You bet. All right, Matt Munson and the Madison Mallards will take a commercial break. Continue with more of the Coach's Show, baseball Coach's Show, right after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, 10% off all cheese. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
This year's Heritage Day celebration will be held Sunday, July 28th at the Lacapral County Museum. The museum will be open at 3 p.m., giving visitors some time to view the new exhibit, which includes information about some of the early politics of Lacapral County, including the battle for the location of the county courthouse, fights for and against Prohibition, and the politicians who helped build the county, such as Jacob King Jake Jacobson and legislator Sheriff John McGuire. On display will be an expansive collection of artifacts such as ballot boxes, campaign materials, political cartoons, and more. The program will start at 4 p.m. featuring two speakers, Jean Christensen Grusing, granddaughter of the late Governor Ted Christensen, sharing information about her grandfather. The second speaker, Doug Peterson, who was first elected to the Minnesota Legislature in 1990 and reelected five more times. Following the program, the Lacapral County Historical Society will serve a picnic brunch on the lawn of the museum. So come on out to Heritage Day at the Lacapral County Museum, Sunday, July 28th, put on by the Lacapral County Historical Society. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, July 26th through Monday, July 29th in Theater 1, Twisters, rated PG-13. That's Twisters in Theater 1. In Theater Number 2, Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson star in Fly Me to the Moon, and that's rated PG-13. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
And welcome back to the Baseball Coaches Show. We're going to talk Junior American Legion Baseball with Jared Royland, the Madison Junior Legion team, here in a little bit. But there are some scores to pass along in Junior American Legion playoffs from last night. In the winner's bracket, Dawson, the number four seed, upset the number one seed, Granite Falls, at Richter Field last night, 3-2. So Dawson remains in the winner's bracket. And then Montevideo shut out Canby 12-0. In the elimination games, Mineota beat Bold 6-1. And Sacred Heart McRae ended Madison's season 16-14 in a wild game, it sounds like. And those are the scores from Junior South Central Substate playoffs in Junior American Legion Baseball from last night. Let's talk about that 16-14. Boy, that's a lot of runs, Jared.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy night. You always, the old adage is you never know what you're going to see at the ballpark, and I've never seen that before.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's back it up here a bit. Talk about the games you had this past week.
Yeah, so Tuesday night was the second round of playoffs for us. We went down and played in Milroy at the beach down there. I'd never played there myself. I've watched games down there before, so it was a fun experience for me, and I know all the boys were looking forward to that. You know, they saw the varsity playing there this spring, and they were really looking forward to playing at such a nice field, one of the nicest fields in the area. We ended up losing that game to Canby 9-5. We hit the ball really well. We almost doubled them up on hits. I think we had about 14 hits that night. We gave them too many runners. We had between walks and errors and hit by pitches, we gave them 17 free runners. And I mean, our bats did a lot that night, but it wasn't quite enough to come back. The boys battled. They made it interesting in the top of the seventh. Excuse me. We got three guys on, and we played it one run, and we had opportunities with one out to score a couple more runs, but we just couldn't quite come up with that one more big hit to really get us within a striking distance of them. Canby's a good team. They threw well. They threw strikes, and that's the biggest thing that we need to work on going into next year is our hitting's there. We've been hitting really well the second half of the year. I think total coming into playoffs we were hitting .286 or right around there somewhere. So we're hitting the ball well. We're just giving them extra runners, and that puts more pressure on our defense and puts more pressure on our pitchers to pitch perfectly, and it just makes it harder for ourselves. But the boys learned a lot of that stuff, and unfortunately the hard way. But I think, like I told them last night, you remember this and how you feel and what you need to work on, and that'll only pay dividends come down the line in the next year or two. So,
right.
But yeah, we ended up dropping that game to Canby 9-5. Like I said, I think we had 14 hits, and they had, so what did they have?
Yeah, y'all
they
hit
had
them.
Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we just needed to make a few more little plays on defense, and that would have really changed the tide in that game. But so after that, we dropped down into the loser's bracket, and then we knew we were going to have a Sacred Heart team that we saw earlier this year, and we lost 8-3 earlier in the year, but we had eight errors in that game, and so, I mean, the boys knew that they had a really good chance coming into last night, and again, I sound like a little bit of a broken record, but we hit the ball really well again. We had 13 hits on the night last night. Gavin Mortensen was our big hitter last night. He was 2-for-2, and he had 5 RBIs, and I think he reached, on all 5 of his at-bats, he reached base. And so that was really nice to see out of the 9 spot, kind of flipping the order back for the top again. Gavin Meyer was also had a good night at the plate. He was 3 for 6. He scored 2 runs and had an RBI. So we were really, and even some of our outs, again, just like on Tuesday night, even some of our outs were well hit balls that they just didn't find the gap. But we ended up dropping our game last night, like you said, Paul, 14-16. And again, it's kind of the same thing. We gave them 16 free runners. That's a lot to ask of your defense and your pitcher to try to erase that many free bases. And that's what the big thing that we need to work on going into next year is throwing more strikes and more consistently, and making those plays more consistently. We really go in waves. We go and we look like we're an all-star team and can make the really great tough plays, and then there's other times where the stuff that they can do in their sleep that they just don't make it. And we, Tony and I, talked last night to the guys about just being, we don't need to be high, we don't need to be low, just be in, if you can be in that consistently making the plays that you can make more times than not, we'll be just fine. And it's just working on that consistency portion that's their big thing going into next year. But we're a young team. We're gonna have all but 3 of our guys back again next year, and so we'll have a young team for varsity next year too. And so it'll be nice to see, you know, the strides they make here coming in the next year. And Darby, of course, will do a good job of getting them ready in the spring, and hopefully we got some better things to come.
Okay. Yeah, we have some time here, Jared. Do you have any stats there in front of you? How the kids did on either the Canby game or last night?
Oh, yeah. We were, like I said, so for Tuesday, we were 11 for 29. So, I mean, we're over 300 average for the night. Brant Schomer was our leadoff hitter. He was 3 for 4 with an RBI and 3 runs. Carter Moen, the second half of the year, he's hit the snot out of the ball. He was 2 for 4 with an RBI and a run, and a couple other of one another one of his outs was a well hit ball too. Nolan Smith was 2 for 3 with a run. Tanner Tilbury was 1 for 3 with a run, and one of his other outs was a well hit ball to the center fielder that the center fielder made a really nice play on. Tanner's really been coming on for us too, the second half of the year, playing first base for us, and every night there's one or two balls that are well hit, and he's getting on base for us, doing some really nice things. Jackson Fernals was 1 for 3 with an RBI. Every time you look up, Jack seems to be on base too. And those, like I said, Carter and Tanner and Jack, they're only going to be ninth graders. So there's a lot of room for improvement for them, but they show a lot of promise and a lot of just raw ability that we can hopefully form into something that's really going to be exciting in the years to come. Those were the big guys for us on Tuesday. And then last night, I talked a little bit about Gavin Mortensen and Gavin Meyer, but again, Carter Moen showed up on the stat sheet, 2 for 5 with a run. A couple other of his balls, again, last night were well-hit balls. His last at-bat in the 7th, he took an outside pitch and went the other way with it. That's something that's really impressive to see out of somebody that young, being able to take an outside pitch and realize that I need to go the other way with it instead of trying to pull everything. That was really promising to see. Nolan Smith was 2 for 5 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. Again, Tanner Tilbury was 1 for 3 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. And then Grant Bierke had a good night last night too. He was 1-for-2 with 3 runs, and I think he reached base. I think he had, let's see, 6 at-bats, and he reached base on 5 of them. So he was doing a good job at the top of the order, setting the table for the meat of our order. But like I said, our bats were there. It's just the pitching and the defense that we need to. We got to put some more work into, and if we can do that, we'll be a really good team for the next 3 years to come. So I'm excited for our future. There were some growing pains this year, you know, but that's going to happen with a younger group. And but they came together the second half of the year and really got the bats going. And if we can keep up that success and making small strides like that every day, I have no doubt that we'll be where we want to be, not only next year but the next few years. So.
Okay. All right. Well, real good, Jared. Hey, I want to thank you for being on the Baseball Coaches Show every Saturday during the summer here. Appreciate that. And I know you get a lot of baseball in. I know you're playing for the Mallards too. You got a big game today. And your family gets a lot of time at the ball field, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dean, we had a long game last night, and I had Dean with me at Bat Boy, and I think we pulled up to the house about 11 o'clock last night, and we're just going to start it all over and do it again today.
Gotta love it, though.
Yep.
Kids love it.
And I just want to take a second to I appreciate all of, especially my assistant, Tony Smith. He's been great all year. I've bugged him more than he probably cares for me to bug him, bouncing ideas off of him and going back and forth with different thoughts. And all of the guys and all of their families, they've all stepped up and willing to help wherever they need. And they've been a great group to coach and a great families to work with. But baseball isn't done yet in Madison. We're going to host the next 2 rounds and the championship for Junior Legion baseball. And so we'll have 2 games on Tuesday night and 2 games on Friday night, and at least 1, if not 2 games again on Saturday to decide the championship for our region, from Junior Legion. So,
all right.
We still got plenty of ball to
That's
work
right.
with.
All right. Thanks, Jared. I appreciate your time.
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Yep. Jared Royland, manager of the Madison Junior Legion team. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Tyler Ottoman of the Rosen Express right after this.
Hi, folks. This is Doug Wolverton. I'm excited to be coming back to Western Minnesota as part of the Appleton Summer Concert Series this Tuesday, July 30th, at the Riverview Park Bandstand in Appleton. I'll be playing some classic swing tunes along with Bob's Big Band, as well as some solo tunes with my dad, Paul Wolverton. The music starts at 7 p.m., so come on out and have a good time as we close out the concert season this Tuesday in Appleton. See you soon.
Saturday, it's the Region 9C Amateur Baseball Tournament from Madison Memorial Baseball Field. The Madison Mallards will take on the Appleton A's around 6:30 Saturday. So tune in to Q92 Saturday, 6:30, the A's and the Mallards right here on Q92. Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. Let's talk with Tyler Ottoman of the Rosen Express. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, you guys are first up on the baseball schedule for today in Madison.
Yes, we are. Rose and today will lead the tournament off with Rosen taking on Chicago this morning at 11 o'clock. So I'm not too disappointed with the heat coming today to be the first game to get in and out. So I do not mind that at all.
That's good. That's right. Well, I'm in a air-conditioned press box, so I'm not going to complain.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's back it up here. Let's talk about last week with the Rosen Express. How'd you guys do?
Rosen last Sunday took on the Hancock Orphans to round off the year. And Rosen ended up winning the ball game by 10 running Hancock 13-3. How the game kind of went was in the top of the first, Hancock scored a run, and then Rosen came back and scored three runs with RBIs by Lee MacArthur, Davis Patzert, and Evan Ingismore. And then Hancock came back and scored a run in the top of the second. So at that point, it was 3-2. And then the bottom of the third, Rosen scored two runs to make it 5-2. And then from there on out, Rosen kind of took control and scored three runs in the bottom of the fifth, two runs in the bottom of the sixth, and three more in the bottom of the eighth. Rosen, hitting-wise, right, I'll start with pitching. On the mound starting for Rosen was Christian Canton. He went seven innings, giving up seven hits, two runs, which both were earned, walking three, and striking out four. And then Evan Ingismore threw an inning, giving up two hits, one run, which was earned, one walk, and one strikeout. And on the hitting side for the day, Caden Mortensen led Rosen in hitting with three hits and a walk. He had two RBI and a run scored. Liam MacArthur had two hits and RBI. Davis Patzer had two hits with an RBI, scored two runs and a stolen base. Mike Shakey had two hits and an RBI and two runs. Drew Boots had two hits, two RBI, two runs, and three stolen bases. And other guys with hits was Nate Strong with a hit, Preston Kraft, Jay Sigler, and that would be it, I guess, with hits. So Rosen, they brought the bats finally. The game prior we had against Thorntonville, I would say we hit the ball very well by only striking out twice, but it just seemed like we hit the ball right at somebody. And last Sunday, we were finally missing some gloves, so it was nice to see Rosen keep putting the ball in play and missing guys. So with that, Rosen ended the year with a record of 5-7 in the Lando Ducks and 6-11 overall.
Okay. So, yeah, so like, how many hits did he get against Hancock? Roughly.
Rosen ended up with 14 hits on the day.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, finally started hitting the ball. And in Hancock, their record may not show it, but Hancock, over the last few years, or seems like since they joined the league, that's one thing Hancock is good at. They don't strike out often. They put the ball in play and get the pressure on you. It's just, They're a good hitting team, so you can't take them too lightly, so, which we didn't. And yeah, I think we ended up with the most stolen bases we've had all year, and with we had seven stolen bases on the day, and Rosen, yeah, we scored a lot of runs. We moved a lot of guys over by hitting runs and stolen bases, so it was a good, well played game by Rosen. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe Rosen committed an error on the day, so put the ball in play and feel the ball very well.
Good way to end the regular season then.
Yes, correct. I mean, I believe the last, if I'm not mistaken, the last four games, Rosen has struck out 13 times in four games. So we're doing the little things right. It's just scoring runs for Rosen has been a little bit tough. So hopefully last Sunday was the things to come for Rosen.
All right, things to come starts today. Tyler, talk a little bit about how the seedings and the teams that are in the tournament and how it's set up.
Yep. So Rosen will lead off the day. There'll be four games played today in Madison, starting at 11. All these games are single elimination. So in a sense, the region's going to be down to eight teams after today. And then from there on out, it's double elimination. So starting today at 11, Rosen will take on the Chicago Coyotes, starting at 11. And then the fall at 1:30, Benson plays Hancock at 1:30. Ortonville will take on then Hancock at 4 o'clock. And rounding things out will be Madison hosting Appleton at 6:30. So all these games are single elimination, and when you're done, if you lose, you're done for the year. So it puts a lot of pressure on those teams.
The first round today, you mean?
Correct, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yep, all of the games today will be single elimination. Okay. And then from Sunday on, it will be double elimination, with Minnesota waiting the winner of our game. Morris would be waiting Benson and Cottonwood. Clinton's waiting on Ortonville and Hancock. And Dumont will wait the winner of Madison or Appleton.
Okay.
So,
yeah, the top four teams get a first-round bye. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, but didn't the top four teams kind of have the same identical record or something? And then they had to go to the...
Yes, they did.
How'd that work?
Yep. So what it was all four teams had... the same record at 10-2, but the tiebreaker was first it goes head to head, but since they all kind of beat each other, they kind of win by runs given up against the top four teams, is how we did it this year for a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Runs given up against each other and then runs scored. So Minnesota gave up the least amount of runs and went to Morris and Clinton and then Dumont.
Okay. All right. So a lot of baseball at Madison Memorial Baseball Field this weekend.
Correct. There'll be eight games total, so it's going to need a week off to recuperate, because next week we'll be played up in Morris, and then the following week then we'll be back in Madison.
Okay. Good. I love the Region 9C tournament, how it's set up. It always brings a lot of fans, and it's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it was actually brought to our attention a couple of years ago that at a state meeting that on Twitter, somehow the state could figure it out, but there was over 10,000 views for the Region 9C. So they were kind of astounded. We were one of the largest followings on Twitter a couple of years ago. So
awesome.
A lot of eyes on it.
That's right. They take a look at that attendance and stuff too, right?
Yep, and that was a big part of why this year our region added a team going to state this year. So this year the top three teams out of the tournament here will be going to state, which was huge for our region.
Oh, wow, I guess, because they've always taken the top two, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay.
So we will be getting the third team this year.
Awesome.
It's not just the top two, so it's the top three now.
All right, so a lot to play for then.
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right. Yeah, so you play at 11 o'clock this morning then.
Yep.
Against who again?
It would be the Chicago Coyotes.
Okay, how'd you do against them this year?
This year we played them in the middle of June, and we lost to them 5-2. We hit the ball very well. It was just... some mental mistakes, throwing the wrong bases, doing some small things. So I think we clean it up, and I feel good about, you know, competing and having a very good game against them. So
okay, good.
It should be a good game.
All right. Tyler, before I let you go, you got to explain something to me. I saw a social media post with you and some other guy wearing Hawaiian shirts, I believe in Rosen. Tell us about that. What's that all about?
A few years ago, this Christian Cannon, when he came to our team, he would always be wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So every game he pitched, played, when he came to Rosen, would always be a Hawaiian shirt. So
who was that?
Was a Christian Cannon from Milan.
Okay.
He was dating my cousin, and then he's engaged to her, and that's how he kind of came to Rosen. He played for Granite Falls previously. And then all of a sudden, I started wearing a Hawaiian shirt, with them, and then all of a sudden a couple more guys came, and then now it's kind of our group chat. What jerseys are we wearing, and are we wearing Hawaiian shirts today? So if you see guys in Madison today wearing Hawaiian shirts, you can probably pick and tell where they came from. So
awesome. That's a great story. That was a great pick. That actually made me laugh out loud when I saw it. So
it's kind of there's going to be more and more people in Rose, and I would say it'd be by around the beer stands wearing Hawaiian shirts. So it's kind of like you're at the beach almost on
that's
a
right.
Sunday afternoon.
Well, it's going to be a hot one this afternoon, that's for sure. So Hawaiian shirt is pretty fitting.
Yes, that is very true. So that'll make it wear light clothes, so breathable. So that'll be a good thing to wear.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tyler, for the report on the Roseland Express, and good luck today.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
Tyler Ottleman, manager of the Roseland Express. Take a break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show right after this.
The Chippewa County Fair is bigger and better than ever. Come on over to Montevideo for the Chippewa County Fair starting Wednesday, July 31st, and running through Sunday, August 4th. All events are free with purchase of admission of $10, and 6 and under get in free. Great entertainment. Wednesday, it's Hicktown Mafia. Thursday, the White Sidewalls. Friday, it's the Good for Gary Band and the Confederate Railroad Saturday night. Come on over to Montevideo for the 2024 Chippewa County Fair. Trust Carrie Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Carrie Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company. Paul Ramo back here in the studio wrapping up the Baseball Coaches Show for another Saturday. Just want to encourage everyone to head on down to the Madison Memorial Baseball Field today. 4 baseball games. Get in for the price of 1 admission. I think it was $6, Matt said. At 11 o'clock this morning, the Roseland Express will take on Chicago. At 1:30 this afternoon, Benson Plowboys will take on Cottonwood Cardinals. And then the 4 o'clock game, the Ortonville Rocks will play the Hancock Orphans. And the 6:30 game, a game you'll hear right here on Q92 tonight, the Madison Mallards will play the Appleton A's. That's at 6:30 right here on Q92 tonight. Thanks for listening to the Baseball Coaches Show, and stay cool today. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. Tune in next week at 9 o'clock with more interviews with area baseball coaches right here on Q92. See you next Saturday morning. Have a great day.
It's 9:50. Great music for Haydenville, Providence, Cerro Gordo, and Black Apparel Village on KLQP-FM 92.1.